The following is brought to you by Two Good Geeks Radio Network. Be it Star Wars, Marvel, DC, or cinematic adventures, Two Good Geeks Radio Network has something for you. No matter the geek tastes. On a day.
What do you want? Our dark forces, your friend. Human forces building a weapon that could bring about the end of our kind.
Where superheroes rose.
I wouldn't trust you. You were made to be ruled.
And Podcasters United.
What do? We get ready. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. Gentlemen.
And on the day. The Marvel cast was born. News, reviews, and superhero-sized commentaries.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Marvel Cast, Earth's mightiest podcast.
Anyone else?
Now, join your hosts, Dave Senden and Mark Herleman. Podcasters, assemble!
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Well, welcome, gang, to this latest episode of Marvel Cast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast, the only show on the internet where we say hail to Captain America and we hop over Captain Kangaroo. I am your host, David Senden, and with me, the Reed Richards and Hank Pym all rolled up in one, Mark Herleman. Mark, how are you doing?
Does that mean that my Reed Richards outsides my chewy exterior? Hey, I'm doing good.
Well, that might be the case, yes.
Sitting here with the All-New X-Men 25th issue, kind of a pretty cool story.
Oh, nice. But, you know, that's another show. We'll get into X-Men later on. Here we are talking Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and holy Marvel, this seems like a totally different movie.
See, I managed to luck out. I got to go again with the local comic store, Iguana Comics. They rented a whole theater. We went the night before it premiered, or it opened. And, you know, they had it all, so we were able to get our popcorn and soda, little small ones, you know, for $2. It was pretty cool. And we're sitting there. I think we had 50 people. They keep it pretty small, so there's plenty of seating. You know, you don't have to fight over seating. Everyone can choose and stuff. And when the trailers came on, you know, everybody's super quiet, which is kind of, you know, different from what I'm kind of used to when it comes to, like, big geek moments in theatrical history. And the locals for Star Wars movies, they freak out, you know, when it happens on a premiere night. But when it comes to the Marvel stuff, every one of the geeks was just, it was dead quiet, man. Oh, man, I'm just, I love what they did with Captain America 2 because of the different ways that they were doing. I mean, Marvel's had a way of kind of touching on different story arcs that they've had. Like, you know, you had the Civil War moment where it was kind of like Steve's questioning everything.
Oh yeah. Now, did you catch which one was turned into Crossbones?
Yeah, that's Brock. The guy Frank Grillo plays the main Special Forces dude. I didn't realize that at the time. I was like, why bring him out? I wonder why they're showing that. You know, I'm like, huh. And then I saw later in a spoiler thing where they were talking about it, and they're like, and now you see the birth of Crossbones. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh. But see, like, Sam Wilson's character for the Falcon, that's another one of the characters. I don't care for the Falcon in my Avengers lines. Like, he's never been a character that I've really cared to follow. This one was cool. He was like the Batman of the Marvel Universe. I mean, he had to have the gadgets, and then when the gadgets were gone, he proved that, you know, even as just a soldier, he was just as capable, if not, you know, one-tenth of Captain America's awesomeness. But oh, that was cool too. I love the way that they met at the beginning. You know, they're doing track loops around the National Monument, and all of a sudden you're on the left and Captain America blazes by over and over again. Dude, don't one more time. He's just on the left.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, it is Anthony Mackie, so I wouldn't be surprised if Falcon moonlights as a pimp.
That would be funny. You know, there were a lot of characters in this movie that I liked the fact that they got to step up more. I mean, you know, Scarlett Johansson playing Black Widow, she did a real good job. I liked it. Some people critiqued it, but I think she nailed the character. From what I remember of that character, I thought she did a real good job. Kobe Smulders playing Mariah Hill. Oh, man. When she had her moment where she got to kind of show up and help out, I was loving it. I was fist pumping. I mean, my first time meeting her was in the Civil War arc, so she's been a cool character that I've always liked. You know, somebody that could tell Iron Man where to stick it, you know, I like that. That's funny. Mm-hmm. And just to see her kind of do her own thing and kind of take off, and where it left her character was kind of like, oh, I wonder what they're going to do here.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, we have to acknowledge right off the bat the nice little nod, since the two franchises are practically neighbors in the same business, to Star Wars. In Roger's little notebook of things to catch up on, Star Wars / Trek. Now, Mark, I gotta ask. You know, I like Star Trek. There, I said it, people. I like Trek. But my entry point was Next Generation. But Mark, with that little reference, I have to ask. Do you think if Cap saw the original series, he would go, for the love of God, someone put me back in the ice?
Then you got to ask the question, which version of the original? Because they went back and they redid the outer shots of the Enterprise and all the space shots on, what was it? They were doing some reruns of it. And I was looking at it like, I don't recognize that model, you know, because it was total CGI. It wasn't the models that they used to use on it, which were classic. You can even see the string in some of those shots.
Right, but it is a funny little thing to think about. But no,
did you see the spoiler thing there about the fact that they had different lists in different countries?
Yeah, what was all that about?
There wasn't many things that were different. It was mainly the top three things. They were all local landmines, sites and fads and things like that. Landmines. Did I say landmines? There were different, like, you know, like, go see the Great Wall in China and, you know, different things like that. You know, go see the Grand Canyon in the U.S. and different things like that. That was kind of cool. I think there was like five of them or so that have surfaced up. Australia had one. New Zealand's was the same as theirs. I think Europe had one. But I thought that was interesting to do that. So I wonder if that's going to show up on the Blu-ray or something.
When I first heard about that, my reaction was, well, this sounds like when they released the film overseas, the first one, they took the first Avenger just out of it altogether. At least that's what I had heard anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's so many different things rotating out there. Either way, though, I mean, I like the fact that they kind of tricked me in some of the trailers because, you know, you'd see different scenes and stuff like that. I think they did a good enough job. I know I saw Chris Evans and even Samuel Jackson were on Phelan, I believe. the Late Show, and he was sitting there talking about this. You know, I could give you like the plot of Captain America 1, or the end half of Captain America 1. You know, it's about a guy from, you know, the 60s. He's moved forward into present day, dealing with the internet and these kind of things. Like, they did a good job of keeping it quiet. And in this regard, I can respect that. I mean, I it's hard for me as a fan in another genre to do the same thing with them doing it to another film. But it was kind of slick how I, you know, even though the trailers showed things in a jump, you know, chopped up, jumbled order, it didn't do anything to throw me. I mean, I still was surprised every moment that came. You know, I knew that the helicarriers were going to crash because of one of the trailers. You know, some of the stuff's known. You're just like, okay, where's that one big action scene? You know?
Oh, okay,
yeah. Check. Where's the next one?
Oh, yeah. The infamous Marvel checklist they've had since 2008.
Yeah. Well, another cool thing that I liked, though, was the uniform change, how he went from wearing the Steve Rogers uniform that he does, which is kind of weird because, you know, Winter Soldier, you know, down the road, he ends up replacing Cap. And mm-hmm. when Cap comes back, Bucky's wearing Cap's, you know, he's Cap. Bucky is Captain America. So when, you know, Captain America comes back, he comes back as Steve Rogers. And he's wearing the suit that he's wearing at the beginning of this, minus the helmet. He doesn't have the helmet at all. He just goes blonde hair with that suit. And it was funny how, you know, he started with that as the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and slowly ditched it and went back to the old costume again and kind of like getting back to the roots and stuff. And I liked how it gave an homage to his little mud group, you know, the Dirty Dozen or Half Dozen, whatever they were. But I don't know. I mean, you stayed behind through all the trailers and stuff, so you saw what I saw with Bucky kind of seeing in his past and stuff. I mean, I'm curious as to where they're going to go and how they did the homages kind of as a reverse format. I mean, it'd be cool to see perhaps maybe in, you know, like Captain America 6. I don't know. I'm just going out on a limb here. But something like that where maybe Bucky wearing Captain America's uniform and Steve Rogers comes back as, you know, the first Avenger. It'd be cool.
Yeah. After Chris Evans wants to leave and do some directing, apparently.
He can't leave? You can't leave now? What? Chris, no!
No. You know, Mark, when he said that, all I could hear was the sound of the Kevin Feige dump truck backing up to Evans' house and pouring the money out on the lawn, which I'm sure is what happened trying to get Robert Downey Jr. to do Iron Man 3. Because remember, there was that whole, you know, how many would Downey Jr.
You gotta love how they got the money.
Yeah.
They just dump it, man. To have that money at your disposal would be nice. Huh? Like, you're thinking about doing what? No.
No. You're out of here till, you know, Crossbones kills you.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of shocked because, you know, they've got that TV show S.H.I.E.L.D., which I haven't been watching. I admit I've been slacking right there. I've only watched like the first three episodes. And
oh, it's all right. Yet.
But what they do with S.H.I.E.L.D. was interesting to the ninth degree.
Oh, yeah, very much so. However, what it felt like to me was really early on, not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Interns of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I've heard that one. See, at one point, though, I thought they were going to be like, all right, activate S.W.O.R.D. and go with the S.W.O.R.D. compound name instead. And I was like, oh, is this where we're going to see them evolve into that? I mean, because, you know, they went from, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. to S.W.O.R.D. and Nick Hammer when of all people, I mean, that's the one thing that sucks about this whole Marvel and Disney or it's just a Sony and Disney Marvel divide, you know, because at some point, Norman Osborn, the Green Goblin, becomes the Iron Patriot, an Avenger, the Dark Avengers. I mean, there were so many cool little crossovers going on with the X-Men and the Avengers, A versus X. So many stories I can't wait to see. And when you get to the end of the credits and stuff, you see Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch. So I'm just like, oh, dude, we're already getting that point where having characters from both franchises do the jump from one to the other, so that's exciting.
Yeah, but you know what? I do not count that Quicksilver in Days of Future Past, because that Quicksilver looks like the mayor of Bedazzletown.
I am a vampire from Twilight.
Oh, he doesn't look that bad.
Our baby. Pachow!
No, no. It's like Edward Cullen in 21 Jump Street. Stop it. I mean, it's bad enough we got Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum in there.
Yeah. Now, did you see the crossover, the betrayal of Alexander Pierce? I mean, did you see that one coming? I didn't at first, but right before it happened, I was like, oh, okay.
Now, I will tell you what I was actually expecting, okay? I was expecting, first of all, Rogers stand up in there somewhere. And I was expecting Robert Redford to pull off his face, and all of a sudden there's Red Skull.
Oh, that would have been an interesting twist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they got to the first S.H.I.E.L.D. bunker, and they go down and they found Dr. Uva or whatever his name was.
Dr. Artem Zola.
Yeah. I totally misread that. But I was so excited. I'm telling my wife, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, no. No, she's like, what? I'm like, it's going to be Hank Pym. Hank Pym was part of the first group, and he built Ultron, and Ultron's taking over. I was like, oh, dude. I was like, this is going to be the best lead up into Avengers 3 ever. And no, that wasn't it at all. But it was a good twist, but I was like expecting something else.
I gotta say, though, that was the most clever way to get out a huge... Because that whole scene is basically one exposition dump. And that is a really clever way to do it. You know, without going all Yoda and having Zola talk backwards. Little Empire reference there. And the fact that they did scene as a War Games homage, practically, and not, you know, because I believe Artem Zola in the comics comes back as a rather goofy robot, right?
Well, yeah, you were telling me that I did not recognize him or Crossbones for who they were. Then when I looked up the character, I was like, oh man, Marv did an awesome job of making that guy not suck. Because, I mean, he, from the characterization I saw, he's basically a human body minus the head. And where the head is, there's nothing there. But where the shoulders go down from the arms, there's like a big TV screen with his face on it. I'm like, are you kidding me? I was like, because you were talking about MODOK showing up, and I was just like, please not MODOK. I can't stand the big head with little tiny arms and feet.
Well, but if they can make Zola in his robot form not seem stupid.
But yeah, that's just it. If they find a way to do it, I'm down for it. Because, like I said, with Thor was the character that I'm like, ah, okay, Thor. All right. Okay, Thor, you can leave now. You're boring. And yet the movies... I've been digging the heck out of him in the movie. So they've managed to capture me and hold my attention, draw me in. I'm wanting to know more about the other characters and stuff. You know, I mean, I guess they got a comic right now where Thor teams up with future Thor and past Thor to stop a guy and they lose. I'm like, whoa, because Thor's pretty hardcore. But, you know, Captain America had his chance to show some hardcoreness in this, and I really like that too. I mean, my wife's like, he's like Superman. I'm like, well, he's not quite like Superman. I mean, he's pretty buff like Superman, but he's not indestructible, and he will, you know, slowly get beat down to the point where he's beat down, and, you know, him throwing the shield and stuff. She's like, oh my gosh, so he'd be able to do that. I'm like, no, you don't understand. In the comics, that's how ridiculous he was with that shield. Like, the shield, like, had this capability to always come back to him after no matter how many faces and elbows and throats it bounced off of and walls, it would come back right to his arm and he'd be able to throw it again. It was just, I don't know. It was just the awesomeness of the shield, the Marvel madness.
Oh, yeah. Now, the Agent 13. I'm blanking on her name, but Emily Van Camp, the revenge chick from that ABC revenge show. Uh-huh. Now, was that supposed to be Peggy's niece?
I don't know, but I know that some people in the Marvel camp have hinted to watch that character, and I have no clue why. I'm just like, is this something that I'm going to be like, woo, or am I going to be like, what?
Well, my guess is it's going to be a, what? You know, because when you think about Marvel and their hashtag these days, it's all connected. They're really, really, I think, I think they're using that as a means to not defend the movies, but defend Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because when you think of the ratings bubble it's in,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to survive.
No, what they'd be smart to do is put it on before or after The Walking Dead. Oh, yeah. Different channels.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. Well, I think if you really want a decent, and this is just, I'm going to throw this out there, okay? Just immediate crossover. Take Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., take Walking Dead, take Rick Grimes and his group out, put in Sam Jackson and all the ones that aren't Hydra agents. Boom.
Nice. Well, you know, like with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like I said, if Kobe Smulders was playing in it, had a bigger role in it, I think that would give it some legitimacy. I mean, you know, she did How I Met Your Mother, and that show just wrapped up. I mean, what prime time opportunity to jump over onto the show and really help it out, because her character alone adds strength to that program, what it's about, the TV show. What the whole TV show is about is about the program S.H.I.E.L.D. And you don't have either director there. I mean, that's the part that really bothers my mind. I mean, yeah, they went with, it's a covert kind of thing with Agent Coulson, but I don't know. I think that's where I had a hard time. And when I watched the first few episodes, the way they brought Coulson back and they did the whole lying about it to make it a Black Ops thing, it felt very much like by the time they got to Secret Avengers the first time, where Fury went underground and he started recruiting a little group of second-rate and third-rate heroes. He brought another God of Fear. I can't remember what his name was. A little kid. He had Ares, the God of War. I mean, his son. And just a whole bunch of different people he went and found and brought them together. But it lost me. I was just like, okay, I don't care. I liked it when it was like Mighty Avengers and you know, Tony Stark was taking over. Mariah Hill was kind of following him along. And then that went into Civil War. Or no, it was the other way around. It went into Secret Invasion. And, you know, Tony Stark got blamed for everything by the end of that. And then Mariah Hill got the keys of everything after, you know, Tony Stark, he lost it to Norman Osborn. I don't know. There was something really cool about the rise and fall of the leadership of S.H.I.E.L.D. And, I mean, you know, they could always do something like that and revamp the show in a way that would be more exciting and more to kind of what I'm hoping for. And I think by bringing in Mariah Hill, that would be a definite step in the right direction.
Well, as far as I understand, I just read that that Kobe Smulders is playing a big part in the May sweeps.
That's, I think I'd seen something similar, that she might be playing more of a role. But see, they were talking about Samuel L. Jackson having a bigger role. And, like, he just had, like, what, a few 30-second cameos, nothing much at all. And that was kind of like, ouch, that was a tease. That was worse than Mortis, man.
That's going to be a great hashtag going around tomorrow. Hashtag worse than Mortis. I guess, you know what? You know, I don't care who gets this together, me, you, whatever, but next Celebration, and we're all in the same room, we just need t-shirts going around worse than Mortis.
I like it.
I think that one. I mean, that ranks better with your airborne division. Worse than Mortis. Hey, how you feeling? Oh, I'm worse than Mortis. Go away. So, all right. Captain America. Man, you know, I really got to credit whoever designed Winter Soldier's look. Because when he first shows up, first of all, that car chase with, you know, Fury and all the dudes firing at him and whatnot.
Yeah. Give me someplace off the grid!
Right. Now, Mark, at the beginning of that, when the banter between Sam and his ride, I kind of got a feeling of, holy shit, this is better than that last Knight Rider. You know, you remember that Knight Rider series that they tried and didn't work?
Yeah, Knight Rider 2000 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the feel that, like, that has some Stark tech involved with most everything you got going on.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was a great car chase. It felt very French Connection, very raw, sort of, you know, the old ways of car chases before they got all high-tech and weird and whatnot. And when Winter Soldier showed up, I don't know what you thought, but to me, he looked like a Billy Idol and a demon had a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, with the long hair and the mask and everything, I'm like, oh my, white wedding indeed.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm pretty thick, but that character, like, I like the way they did it, because when he fell off in, you know, the first Captain America, I was like, how are they going to possibly get around this? And the way they went around it was, well, the Doctor had already been experimenting on him. My goodness, Bucky, you bad, bad boy. You know, I mean, suddenly I was just like, wow, I mean, okay. So, you know, then they got a hold of him, and then they continued to experiment on him. I mean, wow, I mean, that is a very shattered character. I mean, when they suggest that, you know, Steve might die at some point and Bucky takes his place, it's like, I have a hard time seeing that being in 3 or even 4.
Well, I really don't. And we'll get to Captain America 3 speculation later on, but I really don't think that they'll go with the death of Captain America storyline.
Yeah, that would be a terrible choice, in my opinion, to go right out the gate. But at the same time, they're a universe. And so if they want to touch on all those things, I mean, if they just continued, you know, I wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility to say, you know, Captain America 13, where he finally dies. And then, you know, they plan on going to, like, Captain America 19, because Disney just has this vault of money that just magically grows out of the ground.
Right, right, apparently. Yeah.
It's called movies like Frozen and little girls that buy all the soundtracks and the books and the dolls, and I have two of them.
Hey, I like Frozen too, so it wasn't just little girls.
I do too, but at this point I need to let it go, let it go. I can't take it anymore.
You know, as you defended you, I look at both sides. I love you as well, but I also have this lingering feeling in the back of my mind you and I have discussed. But I think Let It Go is what we need to start getting ourselves.
I can see that too.
I mean, I really do. I hate to say it, Mark. I know, yeah. You vehemently
Let it go. Throw that continuity out the door.
I know.
Let it go.
I know.
Let it go. I'm going to be Jaina Solo no more.
Oh, I know you vehemently defend the EU, and we admire the hell out of you for it.
These three words I can't stand to hear. It don't count.
Oh, man. You know, I just got to say right off the bat, because I know they're listening somewhere, Disney, Lucasfilm, tell us something so we're not swallowing this bill. We're not letting it go. Give us something, goddammit.
What he said.
I love the time delay there.
It's water. I blame it on water. No, I've had strep throat. I don't know if you can tell by my Vader-y rasp. But, and then I passed it on to my wife, who managed to get, like, one of the worst types possible to get. So I'm, like, drinking as much water as I can. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't want it to get bad.
Oh, no. Look at it this way. The raspy voice is the only time we can say doll face and not sound like a complete dick. You know?
Well, that or a Dick Tracy character.
That too.
Hiya, doll face. How you doing around here?
Oh my god, I just got Warren Beatty ass flashbacks. Okay, anyway, back to Captain America. We're way off here. You know, I'm glad with when you know, Fury and Redford were on screen together. I am glad they didn't go for the obvious joke and get David Hasselhoff and just put the patch on the other eye.
That would have been sick. I would have laughed at some of the irony there. Or have Hasselhoff kind of walk in to give him a paper.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I need your immediate response to this, sir. I've got a panel of people waiting. You know, so they could like play off like Fury was getting orders from another guy named Fury.
Mm-hmm. See, now that right there that you just said, that would have worked if you were to reduce Hasselhoff down to a Lou Ferrigno appearance.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in that way, it would be a nice little homage. They could do the same thing with the next Punisher film. Bring all of them in.
I'm not sure Punisher's even...
Oh, wait, they brought Dolph in the last Punisher. Or not the last one, the first one.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, look how well it did.
That was sick. Punisher versus Punisher action. I didn't even catch it before.
No, I understand it was, right? But look at how box office it did, and have we heard any sequel news since? No. I believe the rights are back in Marvel anyway. You know, because they just recently got back that and Daredevil, did they not?
You know, I don't know anymore. I mean, I honestly thought that Sony had lost the rights to the Fantastic Four because they had taken so long between Fantastic Four movies. Yeah. I thought they had like a 2-year gap or a 3-year gap where if they didn't put another movie out that it went back because the Hulk barely fell through that gap, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Josh Trank is doing the next Fantastic Four, or what I like to call Fantastic Four Babies.
Fantastic Four Babies. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about that, though. What if... In classic Fantastic Four fashion, you find out that Reed Richards opens a gate to another dimension, and they go in and they meet another Fantastic Four.
Ah.
I mean, you know, what better way to throw everybody off than throw out... I mean, you could do that like 5 or 8 different times. You know, well, this guy's playing Reed Richards, so is this guy, and so is this guy, and so is this guy, and so is this guy. But... You know, yeah, we're not gonna say which one it is. It's all rumors. You know, they don't even have to tell you that they're doing that. They just deny everything. You know, it's a rumor. It's a rumor. And then you're sitting down, and you're like, oh my God, that rumor was right. But wait, that one's was wait. Oh, sick multiverse.
Oh man, that would be a lot of shit playing around, my friend.
You know, if anyone had the cojones to pull that off, though, to be the Disney side of things, you know, where they have Wanda, the Red Witch, like, bring a character from the Marvel franchise over, maybe Hugh Jackman is Wolverine, and all of a sudden, bloop, that universe is Wolverine's in this universe. And, they do that in story arcs all the time, so, I mean, that's not outside the realm of possibility, even if it's outside the realm of probable legality.
Yeah. That's a whole other podcast show, the realm of possibility and the realm of legality. Okay, let's see. Now, here's something interesting to think about. Project Insight, where 3 helicarriers... with better turbines, because obviously Stark got a little too friendly with them last time. But the interesting thing to think about...
Well, I don't necessarily think those weapons were anything with Stark. I think it was more what they confiscated from Red Skull in the first one.
No. The remember the little turbine line that Fury
dropped? Oh, where he enhanced the turbines and stuff.
Yeah. Stark made a few suggestions. After getting an up-close and personal view. But one thing to think about is that... Okay, when we find out Hydra is basically S.H.I.E.L.D. Surprise! But... and that their plan with Insight was the helicarriers would... target potential threats, right? Now...
You have to say that again. It broke up. I couldn't hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see. Sorry about that. Well, can you hear me now? Hey, Mark?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can. It's just a little delayed for some reason.
Darn technology.
Kill your video. See if that might help.
I think I just killed it. But one thing to think about is Project Insight, which targets potential threats, isn't this essentially what Tarkin wanted to do with the Death Star?
No, he wanted to do Doctrine of Fear, where he would use it to scare the heck out of everybody. Look at my big stick. One stick is bigger. Run. whereas this one was kind of more like Minority Report. And that's where I got the feeling, you know, that it was Ultron. I mean, it totally had that same classic character drive that Ultron had. I mean, he was originally designed to protect humans, and then he realized that the only way to protect the humans was to wipe them out because they were a threat to themselves and the Earth.
Oh, yeah. So you feel it's more Ultron then?
Well, that's what I originally had thought it was going to be. Or, you know, I think a lot of these things, like what we've seen with the Infinity Gauntlet happening, how we're getting a piece here and there, I think we've been getting that since the beginning with Iron Man, that they've had an idea they were going to go towards Ultron. And, you know, I think we've seen, you know, a part of the processor here, part of the engine, you know, the repulsor drive technology that's going to power Ultron will probably have come from Stark. You know, different things like that. And, you know, that we'll find out Hank Pym has been kind of working on it and probably was working with Henry Stark or something like that. I don't know. There's so many different ways they could go with it. But I have a feeling that we've been seeing parts of Ultron for a while now. You know, and this program could easily be something that Ultron either uses or assimilates.
Well, could be. We'll certainly find out in May of 2015 when we talk that one. but it's interesting to think about. Now, to wrap this up, Mark, I think so far, you know, of the heroes we have. I know the next movie in Phase 2 is a complete 360 from anything we've been introduced to thus far. But I think that so far, Captain America the Winter Soldier is the best of Phase 2, or just of Marvel movies in general.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. The only thing that I'm kind of concerned with at this point, I mean, with the Tesseract in the first Thor movie and the first Captain America, it comes back, and the scepter Loki gets, I mean, isn't that also fueled from the Tesseract, and now it's acting like its own item? And then we have the ether. It's like, seems like two of those items being connected. See, I don't know, it just seems like we keep going back to those ones a lot in regards to, like, how interesting is this? Are we going to find out that you know, like, Odin's, you know, spear had another one? I mean, you know, they were all hidden in plain sight as well.
Well, remind me, what are the other gems? Because I know we've seen two of them.
Well, they're all infinity gems, and each one controlled different aspects. I mean, one was reality and things like that. Let's look it up real fast. Infinity gems.
You know, because we had basically Avengers introduced us to Loki's little pokey stick.
Yeah. Or there's soul, reality. Because I know the Illuminati, after the whole thing gets done, the Illuminati break it up, and they end up having each one of the different ones because it couldn't be controlled. There's six of them, I guess, all together.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So holds all six gems in the Infinity Gauntlet gains omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, godlike power, and absolute dominion over all realities. Where are they, though?
So basically the Big Bad Purple by Avengers 3. And no, folks, I don't mean the Big Bad Purple being Barney.
Yeah, not that bad purple.
Yeah. Or the
Helen. Oh, here we go. The green one is soul. The orange one is time. The purple one is space. The blue one is mind. The yellow one is reality. The red one is power. And when they break it up, the Illuminati, Doctor Strange gets the green one for soul, Mr. Fantastic gets the orange time one, Black Panther gets the purple space one, Beast gets the blue mind one, Iron Man gets the yellow reality, and Namor gets the red power. And then they got one called, wait, what's this one? Oh, there's additional Infinity Gems. Interesting. There's also a gold one called Ego, a pink one called Rhythm.
See, I would think Stark would get the one called Ego.
Oh, but these look like these are from, yeah, they're from the Ultra Universe with Loki. Which, okay, I mean, they keep going that space and fantasy style realm. I mean, it's something Marvel's done for a long, long time. You know, you got Hercules, you have Ares, Thor, all these different mythologies and stuff. And they've done a good job of bringing those characters into the present day, you know, Marvel action. And, you know, I remember the earlier ones and stuff, it was kind of ridiculous because they really tried to focus on the fact that, look, it's Hercules and he's from the mythology and he's got to wear the mythology stuff. And I mean, at least like they're smart enough to know, like, hey, okay, here's Hercules going out on a night with a, you know, on a date, and he's wearing a jeans and he's got a leather jacket. And yeah, he's got the shirt underneath buttoned down a little, and the hair on his chest is coming through because he's Hercules still, but he's able to be a modern day Herc. And I don't know. They've done a good job of blending that kind of stuff, so it's kind of cool to see where they're going.
Oh, absolutely. Now, let's talk the post-credit scenes. Two. Since nowadays you can never have just one post-credit.
Always two there are. Marvel sneaks at the end of the trailers.
Well, to paraphrase Lord of the Rings, one doesn't simply walk into a Marvel movie and expect nothing. Yeah. So, the first one was obviously done by Joss, directed by Joss, and leading, of course, into Avengers Age of Ultron, and we meet Baron Von Strucker. And, Mark, isn't that a character we've met out of that terrible Hasselhoff movie from back in the day?
Oh, probably so. I recognize the name from other projects and stuff that came up all the way with the Avengers. I mean, the Avengers comics, what got me to understand that there were other heroes out there before that I didn't really care about them. I was just like, it's Parker, man. It's all about Spider-Man. Right. But then once I realized, you know, hey, holy cow, Spider-Man's an Avenger now? And then it was like, I got to follow this, you know? And that's when I discovered, you know, other characters. And, of course, Wolverine was an Avenger at that time. I mean, I can't wait for a new Avengers movie. Could you imagine that? I mean, and that's something from the Sony camp that they could do at this moment because they've got enough of the characters in their camp to pull that off.
Well, we'll talk about what they're doing in a bit, but okay, that scene, I got the impression there were, well, interestingly enough, Mark, I got the impression that, you know, with the idea of that Fury is dead in this one, right? And that post-credit scene introducing Strucker, I got the idea that maybe later on, if they renew Sam's contract, throw him some more money, whatever, back the Feige truck up again, what they could do is a Fury movie where new agents pull Sam out of hiding and they go fight Strucker and crew at whatever this compound is.
Well, I mean, Fury's in hiding by the time the Civil War happens. So, I mean, I like that direction of things. I mean, that's when he's assembling the Secret Avengers because the Avengers themselves are at war with each other, as are all superheroes, because of an initiative that Mariah Hill pushes forward. So I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, man, there's you know, so many ways the stage is set, but at the same time, you know, Marvel went out of the way to say right out the gate, this is an alternate universe. And so, you know, it's easy to
know. Yeah.
What are the differences between the Marvel con and their ultimate Marvel counterparts? You know, I mean, those are the kind of differences to expect to see along the lines. And if you followed any of the ultimate lines, I mean, they create some great opportunities for stories. So I'm curious to see where they go.
Oh, they absolutely do. I also got the impression
I mean, I don't know if many people out there knew that the two.
I'm sorry.
You know, the two kids at the end of the movie credits, that was Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, who are the children.
Yeah, they're the kids of Magneto. Ah, damn it. Now what? Mark, you with us?
Yep. And we're back.
Oh, and we're back. Oh, man, that's always a pain in the butt. This technology's a joy, ain't it?
Yep.
Why don't you? It's probably all saving everything, so no worries there. You know, saving every call it records, you know, convenient. Anyway, let's pick good up with. Times. Yeah, good times. Anyway, let's pick up with Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Well, yeah, I like the fact that they had the Quicksilver show up with his sister, the Scarlet Witch, and they were in cells. These are the children of Magneto, I mean, from the X-Men, you know. So I was kind of fist pumping, like, ha, take that, Sony, they beat you to it. And Quicksilver's there first. I mean, let the crossovers begin. I mean, start stealing characters at will. Oh, what's this guy with pokey arms, or pokey little claws coming out of his hand? At least just make him short. Hugh Jackman does a real good job of Wolverine, so if you're going to do a Wolverine, make him short.
Well, now, wait a minute. I have this theory going, Mark. And you know how Strucker says this is not the age of spies or heroes. It's the age of miracles?
Yeah.
Well, my theory is this. What if in the Marvel Universe, instead of mutants, they were to expand on this miracles concept?
Well, you know, they're kind of doing something similar right now in the Marvel Comics with the Inhumans. They're not mutants. They're something else. So you could easily see something like that, the Gifted kind of rise. They did that in Scarlet Spider-Man, not the first run, but the second run, with Kane taking up the mantle. And he comes up with this girl named Arachne or something like that. And she's not a mutant. And now in they've just jumped over to New Warriors, and she's a demigod or something like that, or a demigod. But before that, it was like, well, what is she? Because they took her to Reed Richards, and they couldn't figure it out. They're like, well, she's not a mutant, and she's not an inhuman, she's not this, so we don't know what she is.
Well, I just thought that they're probably going for, you know, creating their own sort of mutants angle, considering they can't use the mutant term, considering the rights are tied up at Fox.
Which, you know, that makes zero sense to me. I mean, the term mutant. When has that ever been exclusive to anything? Say that to flowers as they mutate.
No. Well, first of all, that's a very great peace, love, not war view on things.
Yeah.
And second of all is, you know, this is why I just wish Disney Factor, with their enormous vault of money from somewhere, would just do Marvel a solid and buy X-Men away from Fox. Like, if you guys don't want to cooperate, fine, we'll take it back. Yeah. Go, Sony, you guys are making bang movies with this property. We'll let you guys play in this whole corner.
Well, I mean, why aren't they coming down on the Ninja Turtles?
Well, I mean, here's the thing there, bud.
They're able to, they have their cartoon on TV. They just say mutant all the time. What the heck's the problem? I don't see the difference.
Oh, man. You know,
it's a word. I mean, it's not like they're stealing an emblem. It's not like the Chrysler Baron out front's got the emblem ripped off the front of it. I mean, I don't understand. It's so stupid. Use the mutant. I don't care. Tell them to stick on their mutant butt.
You know, I'm going to expect a big rant from Hurlman about this. I mean, oh, jeez. Poor Ninja Turtles. They're getting all kinds of heat. I mean, first Megan Fox, now this.
It's just a mask.
God, yeah. It's just a mask. And then, of course, he removes it, and instead of Michelangelo, it's Shrek.
Well, you know, I was watching Frozen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, since we've talked about it before. That's an X-Men movie. The girl's a mutant. She desperately needed Professor X.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. It's all connected.
That's right.
It's all secretly Marvel.
Olaf was a shapeshifter.
Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, it's just bad enough Olaf has to look like Josh Gad, but that's a whole other conversation. Anyway, all right. But, you know, back to the post-credit scene. Scarlet Witch, you know, I kind of get the impression Joss Whedon should have just gotten Summer Glau on the phone.
No. Why do you say that?
Well, because Scarlet had this sort of looking around dazed, very airy quality about her. And I'm sorry, Summer Glau does that to a T.
Oh, see, well, what I think, what you're, because you're referencing using Summer, I get where you're going with that, but what I saw Scarlet doing wasn't what I see, you know, River Tam's character doing or the Terminator. You know, those kind of things. It was more like she was on total assessment. Like, she had that I'm out on a stroll kind of, you know, tourism-like look, but the whole time she was calculating all the risks and stuff. I don't know. For me, I enjoyed the character. I mean, and the fact the way that it ended, she was just, like, totally okay with outing herself. And the way she flipped him off as she was walking out, I don't know. I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. I do have to say this. She looks a tad more dressed here than she did in the comics.
Yeah, well, I mean, most Marvel women are going to probably walk a more covered line or less curvy line.
Yeah.
In, you know, the cinematic universe. Mariah Hill's another one. You know, she used to wear the cat suits and stuff like that. And while she had a similar outfit to what she had, it functioned and looked everyday wear accessible and ready to go.
Well,
it didn't over-sexualize her.
Well, I can tell you why her suit's different in the MCU, if you would like.
Oh.
You don't want to upstage Scarlett Johansson. I'm sorry, you know, but you don't.
I don't know if you caught this with her character. She got to use her stingers in the movie.
Yes. I definitely caught that.
She jumped over that guy and stung him. I'm like, oh, she got to use her stingers, yes!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, well, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Avengers Age of Ultron. I do know, because I saw some concept art recently, that we get to see the infamous Hulkbuster suit. And I'm telling you, Mark, when I saw Hulk fighting the Hulkbuster suit, I got goosebumps.
Oh, yeah. That'll be sick. And I mean, they've already put the toy out there once or twice, so mm-hmm. It'll be cool to see what they're going to do.
But, and we kind of saw a very rudimentary version of the Hulkbuster suit in Iron Man 3 anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the fact, like I said, you know, I mean, Sony aspect, they own all the things, Spider-Man, and yet Marvel already pulled the Iron Patriot. It's like, you know, technically you guys have Iron Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's in that suit. We're going to just take that. We're going to use it. No problem there.
Might as well. All right, Mark. Well, thank you for your time. It's always great chatting with you. And, of course, you, all the marvelicious, marvelite, marvel nerds out there. You know, always a great deal of fun. And yes, we will be doing Guardians of the Galaxy in August, taking a complete 180 detour. But after... Or a straight up one. And after that, I thought we might revisit some old friends, Mark. Revisit the Phase 1 movies in our Marvel Decommission series. And
it'll be fun. Especially when you think about, you know, some of the Spider-Man ones out there, because in a sense, that's the first of all the Marvel Madness that has done its first closed chapter and started a new one. It's kind of cool to see the differences there as well.
Well, let's get to in between, because in between here in Guardians, we'll have a lot of free time, And we have The Amazing Spider-Man opening early May. We'll review that. And then we'll take a little trip back in our Lost Sons of Marvel series. You know, compliments of Mark Herlman coming up with that damn title. And revisit some of the old Spider-Man movies. Not old, old like those creepy YouTube movies that scare even me. No. But the Sam Raimi Spider-Mans. Even the emo Peter Parker, which is like, oh dear lord. And we will do that with X-Men Days of Future Past. So there's a lot of Marvel content to talk about. And I know there's this legality here, folks, with all these Marvel properties. But you know what? Here at MarvelCast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast, we're like, ah, to heck with that noise. Bring on the Marvel.
Make mine Marvel. I don't care what flavor, just make it Marvel.
Exactly. Well put, Mark. And on that, we will end this episode of MarvelCast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast. I am your host, David Senden. And Mark Herlman, always with me. And remember, gang, he who leaves the Baxter Building last turns up light.